Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's so good to see you. My name is Amir. I'm one of the pastors here at The Grove. I'm so glad to be with you today and continuing our sermon series, Cornerstone, where we're going through the life of Jesus chronologically, looking at his ministry. And I'm excited for that. Today's account can be found in three Gospels, both Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Will focus on the Mark account. So go ahead and open your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. We're going to start today in verse 40, Mark chapter 1. If you do not have a Bible, you don't have a Legacy Standard Bible, which is a translation that we use, feel free to raise your hand. We have ushers that would be happy to pass you a Bible. If you don't own a Bible yourself, feel free to keep it as a gift from us. Mark chapter 1. Now, before we go into this, do you remember these awful COVID years? Like, we don't like to think about those, you know, right? But remember it? I have memories of getting sick pretty early in that, getting COVID and being quarantined during this time. And we just had Hezzy during that time. He was a little guy. We weren't quite sure what COVID means and all this. So we took it seriously and I was quarantined in my own house. I was staying in a room that's not my own bedroom. It was a different room so I can be by myself. I don't remember what it was, like a week, 2 weeks, I don't remember. It's something crazy like that. And I remember just sitting there, bored, reading books, hanging out, watching my favorite superhero movies, which is, of course, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We can call them superheroes, right? We agree. Yeah. Turtles that do ninja. I mean, you can't fight, you can't beat that. And they say cowabunga, which is cool too, right? So I remember sitting there in my room, bored, lonely, by myself, quarantined, and kind of what? That's crazy. But the truth is that when you talk about being quarantined, this was not a new practice for 2020 and COVID. Throughout history, there were all sorts of diseases that people had to quarantine if they got one. The worst of them probably is leprosy, where people actually were quarantined for the rest of their life. And today we're going to look at a leper and his interaction with the Lord Jesus. So we're in Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 40. Will you stand with me in honor of the word of God? We'll read this passage starting in verse 40 and we'll go to verse 44. It says this, "And a leper came to Jesus, pleading with him, and falling on his knees before him, and saying, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' And moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them.'" Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on this time. Father, we come before you. We thank you for this time that we can be here together, praise your name, worship your name. We ask that you will show us your glory this morning. We ask that you will speak to us through your word. We ask that your name will be glorified in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Here's our big idea for this morning. Our big idea is this: Jesus changes everything. Jesus changes everything. Now, it's not always the case, but sometimes we see in scriptures a physical condition, a physical illness, a story that clearly reflects a spiritual truth as well. And today we have one of those examples. And as we go through this passage, keep this in mind. There's going to be a parallel between the physical and the spiritual. Starting in verse 40, it says that a leper came to Jesus. So we need to understand a few things about lepers. Leprosy was the most terrible disease in the day of Jesus and before. It was greatly feared. By the way, today, the World Health Organization assumes that there are more than 200,000 lepers in our world, mostly in Africa and Asia. But there are about 100 new cases of leprosy a year here in the United States. Leprosy started with pain, followed by numbness as the disease attacks the nervous system. And through time, the skin loses its color, becomes scaly, and eventually turns into sores or open wounds. And on top of that, the numbing component of this disease made lepers not aware of how they hurt their bodies, which led people to sometimes even lose body parts, limbs, fingers, because they would step on something, they will hit something, they will scratch themselves too hard and lose parts of their bodies. It was a very serious disease. In Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, in the Mosaic Law, actually, we see all sorts of laws regarding leprosy. Here's one from Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. It says this: "As for the leper who has the infection, his clothes shall be torn, and the hair of his head shall be uncovered, and he shall cover his mustache and call out, 'Unclean, unclean.'" So try to imagine someone who diagnosed with leprosy. Now he has to go around town, anywhere he goes, and shout, "Unclean, unclean," warning people around him to stay away from him. It says he shall remain unclean all the days during which he has the infection, which for most people would be the rest of their life. He's unclean. He shall live alone. His place of habitation shall be outside the camp. See, lepers were considered living dead people. Traditionally, back in the days of Jesus, they had to wear black so they could be recognized as being among the dead. It's heartbreaking. They became outcast, totally ostracized from society, even from their own families. There was no medicine to heal leprosy back then. As far as I understand, there is still no medicine to heal this disease today, but today there are medicines that stop the progression and spread of the illness, so it's not fatal the way it used to be. But what we see in the parallel passage in Luke chapter 5, in verse 12, it says about this man that the man was covered with leprosy. And this means that this man is not just like 2 weeks into it. If he was covered with leprosy, it means that it's many months, maybe multiple years, 5, 10 years, 20 years, we don't know how long, but he was covered with leprosy, completely alone, desperate, lonely, with no family, with no human interaction. And with all this poor leper covered in leprosy, he hears of Jesus and he pursues Jesus and he brings his dirty, unclean self before Jesus. Here's our first point this morning. Bring your dirt before Jesus. Bring your dirt before Jesus. You see, the leper came to Jesus, and that required some boldness. There was some risk in it. I read somewhere this week that people would throw stones and will hit lepers with sticks to get them away from the crowds, to scare them off. He understood that's probably going to happen if he's coming near the crowds, near Jesus. And then I'm trying to just think about, just put yourself there. Like, can you imagine the shame, the humiliation to be walking around town shouting about yourself, "Unclean, unclean"? The humiliation of losing your physical appearance, being dirty, being considered a dirty person. The parallel, the illustration in this passage is fabulous and it's very moving. The physical condition of the leper reflects and it is a picture of a spiritual truth. You see, there is a much worse disease in this world than leprosy. A much more contagious and a much more common and a lot more deadly disease in this world. It's called sin. We're all born with it. It's part of our nature. Since the first sin of Adam and Eve in the garden, all of us are born into sin in our nature. A good way to maybe think about this is this statement. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. The order is really important here. Our sin, our actions, is not what make us sinners. But the fact that we're sinners by nature is what causes us to sin. We're sinners by nature. We have no choice but to sin. And Ephesians 2 says that we were dead in our sins. We're living dead. Physically living, spiritually dead. Living dead people. In Romans chapter 6, it says that the wages of sin is death. Death is the consequence of our sin. Spiritual death. Our sin, or Adam and Eve's original sin in the Garden of Eden, got us kicked out and thrown away from the presence of God in the Garden of Eden. Our ladies this Tuesday will be expanding on it very well. And I'm so jealous of you. You're getting such a good instruction in the book of Genesis. And this week you'll talk about this. But the sin is what caused it. Being removed from God's temple here on earth, from His glory, from His Shekinah, from His presence, and be thrown away from the garden. And for each one of us being born with sinful nature, the disease of sin grows and spreads throughout our life in our flesh, growing, bringing pain and suffering to us and to our loved ones. And we cannot heal ourselves from this disease on our own. Maybe you think, I'm creative to connect leprosy to sin, or you heard this before. The truth is that this connection between leprosy and sin is taken straight out of the Word of God. Yahweh Himself uses leprosy to describe sin in Isaiah chapter 1. Look at this, starting in verse 2. He says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for Yahweh speaks. Sons I have reared and raised up, but they have transgressed against me. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not perceive. Alas, sinful nation, people heavy with iniquity, seed of evildoers, son who act corruptly. They have forsaken Yahweh. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel. They've become estranged from Him." And look now at verse 5. "Where will you be stricken again as you continue in your rebellion? The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is nothing sound in it, only bruises, wounds, and raw wounds, not pressed out, not bandaged, not softened with oil." God is describing leprosy to describe our spiritual state, to describe sin in our lives. And in this passage in Isaiah, God is describing you and me. This is what sin does to us, spiritual leprosy. And we must realize this. Listen, we cannot be healed from this spiritual condition before we understand that this is our spiritual condition. We cannot be saved without acknowledging that we are sinful first. Our big idea is Jesus changes everything, but for this change to happen, we must understand that we are unclean, that we are dirty. And then, like the leper in our passage, we must bring our dirt to Jesus, because He's the only one who can heal us. My question for you is this: have you ever done this? I want to be clear about my question. I'm not asking if you believe the Bible is truth. I'm not asking if you believe that God exists. I'm not even asking if you believe that Jesus is Lord. Because the leper, he could have believed all this to be true and not come to Jesus. I'm asking if you ever brought your dirt to Jesus. Have you ever come to Jesus and admitted to him that you're a spiritual leper, a sinner that needs supernatural intervention for the sake of healing and cleansing? Have you ever asked Jesus to cleanse you from your sin? If you have done this before, my question is, what dirt in your life are you hiding from Jesus today? What causes you to avoid the presence of the Lord instead of going to him? Because we tell ourselves these lies all the time, right? I'm too dirty to go to Jesus. He's holy. I'm dirty. How can he forgive me of that? How can he be in my presence? How can I approach him? I'm insignificant. I'm unclean. What is causing you to not go to Jesus with your dirt today? And maybe another question, in what posture are you coming before Jesus when you come to him? Look at the posture of the leper in our passage. It says that he, in verse 40, that he was falling on his knees before Jesus. And in Luke chapter 5, the parallel passage, it says that he was falling on his face before Jesus. Here's the second point for us this morning. Bow down before Jesus. Bow down before Jesus. I think it's such an inspirational outward expression and posture to reflect the leper's faith. See, the leper, he's showing a total surrender to Jesus. It's absolute submission, bowing down before him. And again, try to put yourself now in this situation in the text, right? The leper is covered with sores, with wounds all over his body, and he drops on his knees. He falls on his face. Can we agree that that was not probably a very gracious fall? Like, this man is hurting. He's suffering. It was not this kind of elegant with angels singing in the background. The man sees Jesus, he drops down on his face. Meanwhile, try to imagine what's happening around. People around are disgusted. They're alarmed. I imagine maybe some people are like looking for, starting to look for stones, for sticks. Get this guy kicked out from the crowds. But the leper didn't care because he had an appropriate view of God. He had an appropriate view of Jesus, a view of God that we have to have in order to heal our sin. A.W. Tozer said this, "When we bow before God, we are acknowledging that he is God and we are not. It is an act of surrender that allows his will to be done in our lives, transforming our hearts and directing our paths." Listen, this is the point of bowing down before God. Telling him and telling ourselves, he's God and I'm not. And we get so confused about this, don't we? I'm reminded of the great prophet Daniel. You remember the story of Daniel in the lion's den? My kids love this story. We love to talk about it for a couple of reasons. My son Hezi, he loves animals. So we talk about this story, and then he loves to pretend to be either Daniel and then I am the lions, or even more favorite of him because he likes the animals, he likes to be the lion. As you can see, he's a really good lion. And then I be Daniel, and he's pretending that he wants to devour me, kind of thing. And then we have our daughter, and she just kind of loves making animal sounds right now, and she's just going to be turning two, so she makes that funniest little lion sound, and we're all cracking up about this. So we love this story, but I want to remind you of what's happening in this account. The king signed a document forbidding all to pray to anyone but the king himself, right? The king of Persia. He's saying, I'm God on earth. No one pray to anyone else but me. And then in Daniel chapter 6, we see this, that now when Daniel knew that the written document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. Why am I telling you this part of the story? I was thinking, can you imagine what our lives would look like if we stopped 3 times a day and bowed down before God? And listen, Daniel was a very busy man. He was the second in command in the great Persian Empire. He was busy. But he made it a point to find time 3 times a day to stop and bow down before God. Can you imagine what our lives would look like if we did this? I promise you this, if we did this, our relationship with God would be so much better than we have ever had. I promise you that our marriages would be so much better. Our parenting would be so much better. Our secret sin life would be so much better. I mean, less secret sin life. We would be better students, would be better grandparents, would be better friends, would be better church members, would be better disciple makers, better servants of Christ. Why? Because if we bow down before God 3 times a day, we will get our eyes off of ourselves and we'll recognize that He is God and we're not. We'll surrender and say, you have control over my life. You rule, not me. And listen, I want you to hear me on this. I'm not saying this in a legalistic way. Like, listen, if you bow down before God 3 times a day, everything will be perfect in your life. That's not what I'm saying. But sure enough, it will help remind us, our forgetful minds, that we're not seated on the throne. God is seated on the throne, not us. My question for us is this: what is the posture of our hearts today? What is the focus of our life, us or God? Let me ask you this way. Have you ever fell on your face before Jesus? Have you ever bowed down before Him in total surrender? Have you ever told God that your life is about Him and not about yourself? About Him, about His will, about His glory, not mine. I will never forget the first time I did this. It was the day I put my faith in Jesus. I was 16 years old. I was in my room back in Israel, and I remember bowing down. It was first done in my heart. Surrender. And that led also to the rest of my body to follow. Bowing down before Jesus. Do you remember that moment for you? If I asked you to share with me that moment, would you do that with excitement, joy? Like, I'm happy to tell you every detail of it. Or would you be kind of embarrassed about sharing it? Like, I don't know, I'm not sure that I really did this the way you're describing. And listen, if the answer is no, I'm not sure, I haven't done it yet, I'm just not sure, today might be the day to do that. Today might be your day to surrender before Jesus, to bow down before Jesus, to get off the throne and let God take the throne He deserves. You know why? Because Jesus changes everything. Jesus changes everything, and He can change your life as well. He sure changed the leper's life. Look back at the passage. I'm going to start again in verse 40. A leper came to Jesus, pleading with Him, falling on his knees before Him and saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Or in other words, Jesus, you can change everything. Verse 41, and moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and he said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Here's our third point this morning. Be changed by Jesus. Be changed by Jesus. I want to point out a few things in this account. And again, keep the parallel spiritual side in mind as we go. First, did you notice that the leper did not doubt Jesus' ability to heal him? He didn't say, Jesus, is like leprosy one of the things you can do, or is it just other, like, you know? Is that your what you can do? Are you capable of doing leprosy too? He did not say this, right? He said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He knows. He had faith that Jesus can heal him. He had faith. He just wasn't sure that that's God's will for his life. He says, you can. I just don't know if you're willing. Would you be willing? Faith led first to his healing. And then we see Jesus' reaction. And this response from Jesus just blows my mind. Because it says that Jesus was moved by compassion. And trying to wrap your mind around this, Jesus, the creator of the universe, the creator of the world, the creator of all things, creator. And he sees this broken man, leper, not a great sight to look at, the lowest of society. And Jesus looks at him and he's moved by compassion. What does this make you feel? Thinking about this. Jesus has compassion to your story too. Jesus has compassion about your circumstances, your physical difficulty, your spiritual difficulty. No matter what you're going through, no matter your circumstances, Jesus has compassion to people. We see later in the Gospels that Jesus sees the multitudes and he's filled with compassion because he sees the people like sheep without a shepherd, right? That's what Jesus sees when he looks at us. And he has compassion for us. I think it's extraordinary that Jesus, so when he asked, are you willing? And Jesus says, yes, I'm willing. Jesus could have said, stand up, you're healed, right? I'll be honest, if it were me and I had the power, I'd be happy to heal this man, but I'm not sure I would want to touch him. Like, you know, just open wounds everywhere, all that, you know. Not sure, like, hey, if I had the power to just do it by voice, like, let's just go on that route, right? But Jesus, he touches this man. And it's extraordinary. And I want you to think about this. Again, he is covered with leprosy. That means that this man, I don't know, 5, 10, 20 years, never felt human touch. And we know how healthy human touch is, right? And Jesus cares so much, loves so much, so compassionate that he goes and he reaches out and touches this man, first touch in years and years. He says, stand up. I'm willing. You're healed. What a level of care and compassion. And that's the truth for us too. Jesus can touch you as well. No matter what you're going through, Jesus can touch you as well. You're not too far out of his reach. I think it's interesting that the leper's faith is what ended up getting him healed and cleansed. It was not the leper's works. It wasn't like the leper said, you know what? I got to figure it out. I'm going to start tithing 3 times what I've done before. I'm going to start, like, I'm not missing one. It's like, I'm not going to start sacrificing daily now. That's not what saved him. He didn't say, you know what? I just need to know the Bible better. I'm going to go to seminary. That's what's going to heal me from my leprosy. He didn't say, I'm going to start serving in the temple, or I just need to have a lot more knowledge to be saved. He just had faith and came with his dirt to Jesus, bowed down before him and believed, really believed, had faith that Jesus can change him. And Jesus responded to this faith with compassion and grace, and indeed saved him. And again, try to imagine this situation. He's on his face, and Jesus heals him right there, cleansing him. Can you imagine? I'm trying to think, like, what? Like, did his fingers grow back out, part of his nose? His skin suddenly is wound-free? Immediately, he's pain-free. Like, is he just, like, on the ground now? He's doing like 10 push-ups just because he's so pumped, and he jumps back up on his feet, starting to run around. Like, can you imagine his joy at this moment? It would be awesome. And here is again where I got to stop and ask you, have you experienced this kind of cleansing and healing from the disease of sin in your life? See, if we bring our dirt to Jesus, and we acknowledge our sinfulness, if we bow down before Jesus and we surrender to him, we will be changed by Jesus. He promised this. In 1 John chapter 1, it says this, if we confess our sins, that's bringing our dirt to him, bowing down, surrendering to him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's his promise. Jesus can heal our sin disease. He cleanses us. He can cleanse us, just like he did with the leper. How did he do it? Well, by living a perfect, sinless life here on planet Earth, right? We're going to spend literally 2 years looking at this perfect, sinless life every Sunday. And then Jesus was so moved by compassion regarding our sinful state, regarding the consequence of our sin for eternity, the sin that is leading us to hell, he was so moved by compassion that he gave his very life on the cross. We call it the great exchange, meaning that when Jesus was on the cross, he atoned for our sins, meaning when he was on the cross, when the Father looked down at Jesus, he saw you and me. And judged Jesus, poured his wrath on Jesus the way we deserve. It's a great exchange for us, by the way, not as well for Jesus. It's a very selfless, incredibly loving exchange. What do we get in exchange? When we will walk to our Creator one day, he will look at us like he's looking at Jesus. That's how Jesus accomplished it. And through his compassion, through his sacrifice, he promises his followers to be fully cleansed. Amazing promises. For example, in Psalm 103, verse 12, it says that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions, our sins from us. Completely clean. In Micah chapter 7, 18 and 19, I love this. Who is a God like you who forgives iniquity and passes over the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? He does not hold fast to his anger forever because he delights in loving kindness. He delights in grace. Then he says, he will again have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities and you will cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. What an amazing promise by God. This is what Jesus has to offer you and me in his compassion. Freedom from sin. Complete cleansing from the disease of sin. Complete healing from sin. And not only this, it doesn't stop there. There is more. Not only that we are cleansed by God, not only that we're cleansed, but God throws away our sin into the depths of the sea. This means that our past is done with. Our past sin will never, be brought back up and mentioned again by God. It's done. In this, God offers not only freedom from our sin, but also freedom from the guilt of sin and freedom from the shame of sin. It's done. This is why the Apostle Paul could say that if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. It's done. You are free from sin. You are cleansed. You are healed, and it will never be brought up back again. It's in the depth of the sea. Here's my question. Have you experienced this? Do you know for sure that your sin is in the depth of the sea? Do you know for sure that the great exchange that happened in your life? And that one day when you will walk to your Creator, you will be welcomed like Jesus Himself is walking in. Have you been changed by Jesus? Jesus can change you. And when Jesus changes you, everything is different. Everything is changed. Look at the passage again, verse 43. And he sternly warned the healed leper and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Here's our fourth point this morning. Be obedient to Jesus. Be obedient to Jesus. So it's a curious question, right? After healing the leper, Jesus sends him to the priest in Jerusalem. The question is why? I mean, think about this. We, like, what, 2 weeks ago, we learned about Jesus going to the disciples and say, "Follow me." Why did he not say to this healed leper, "Follow me"? Instead, he sends him to Jerusalem to the priest. Well, a couple of reasons. In Leviticus 14, Yahweh commands for lepers to go to the priest if they get healed. So here's three things Jesus is doing by sending this leper, this healed leper, to the priest. The first is this: to have public recognition as healed. You see in Leviticus chapter 14, the only way someone who was in the past diagnosed as a leper, in the only way they can be restored into society is by going through the priest, making sure the priest would give them like a stamp of approval. He is clean. He is cleansed. He is pure. He's healed. He can be returned to family, to social life, to culture. In this way, actually, Jesus is showing this man more compassion by sending him to the priest. Instead of saying, "Follow me, and for the rest of your life, people will doubt whether you are clean or unclean," he's sending him to Jerusalem, says, "Get that stamp. Get reintroduced into society." By the way, I think it's really interesting that the part of the ceremony with the priests had to do with baptism. So when a leper was healed, which was very, very unusual, in Leviticus 14, one of the things they were commanded to do is to go and be baptized. What's interesting is that just like the baptisms that we celebrate of people getting cleansed from their sin, the leper's baptism was not for the sake of healing. The lepers can actually say something like this: baptism does not heal you, it's what healed people do. Sounds familiar, right? It was an outward expression, outward practice for a healing that already happened, cleansing that already happened. And we're so excited. Next week we're going to celebrate baptisms here. I know we have at least 15 already that we're going to celebrate next week. It's going to be awesome. And what we're going to do, we're going to celebrate people that were already cleansed, already healed, and then we are publicly going to recognize the fact that they were cleansed and healed. It's going to be a great celebration. But it's clear, right? Baptism is not what saved the people that will be baptized, right? It's what saved people do. I can't wait. Next week is going to be amazing. You don't want to miss it. We're going to celebrate together. Here's the second reason why Jesus sent the leper to the priest, to be a testimony to the priests. Lepers being healed was an unheard of event. He would testify to them about Jesus, and this is a good lesson for all of us. If you were changed by Jesus, there's always a testimony to be shared. Always. Third reason, to obey Jesus. Simple. Jesus practically said, after you were transformed, you were cleansed, now obey my commandment. Go and fulfill what Leviticus chapter 14 say. Don't just say you're healed. Don't just look like you're healed. Live it. Obey. Go and obey Jesus. Obey the word of God. Live in obedience. And listen, church, if you have been changed by Jesus, if you have been cleansed by Jesus, if you have been healed by Jesus from your sin, we are called to live like it. We can't say that we are changed without living a life of obedience. We can't do it. Let me give you an example, okay? Golf is not a game we play in Israel, okay? Golf is a very not Israeli game. We only have one golf course in the whole country, so very few people even get exposed to this game. All to say, I really suck at golf. I'm terrible at it. But listen, if I told you this, if I told you I started playing golf now, and recently my game was completely transformed, I'm not the same Israeli I used to be anymore. I have a textbook swing now. I'm getting closer to the pro level, right? That's pretty. I'm right there. Question: would you believe me? Really? That was way too harsh right there. I was hoping that some of you will say, "Well, why don't we go to the golf course and see?" Right? Like, I would like to observe you, and then I'll be able to really tell if you were transformed in your game or not. And if we got to a golf course and you saw me struggling to make contact with the ball, which is my said reality, what would you think? Liar, right? You're a liar. You are not. Your game is not transformed. You're a liar. Don't say that if you don't live it. That it doesn't match. You can't say that you can play golf like a pro and you can't hit the ball. Don't lie. You would think he's not changed. He's not transformed. Listen, if Jesus changed us, we should live transformed. If we say that Jesus cleansed us, he healed us, he transformed us, we need to live in obedience. We gotta live transformed, or else what are we? Liars. And by the way, not transformed once and that's it, you're perfect. I'm talking about daily transformation. Daily change, growth. Here's my question for you. If you say you were cleansed and changed by Jesus, does your life reflect that? Do you live changed? Do you live transformed? Or let me ask you it in this way, what stops you from living in obedience to Jesus? What is stopping you? When people are around looking at your life, is it evident that you're a follower of Jesus? It should be so obvious. It should be so obvious that if you are saying, I was healed from eternal death, it should be so obvious that we are followers of Jesus. Why is it not the case? Can you imagine the healed leper go to the temple, get the stamp of approval? You're pure, you're healed, you can go back to society. Can you imagine a situation where the leper then go directly back to the leper's colony? Can we agree he will never get even close to a leper's colony again? Never get close to it. Yet we say we are healed by Jesus from our sin. And what do? We run right back to our sin. We run right back to our dirt. What is wrong with us? It's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. It's pathetic. What sin do we keep going back to? If we are saying that we were changed by Jesus, we gotta live changed. We gotta obey Him. As we close this morning, go ahead and close your Bibles. I'm gonna call the band to come up here, and as we're doing this, we're going to spend some time responding today, practicing some of the things we discussed. So here's what I'm going to ask. As the band is going to start playing and lead us through our closing song of praise to God, I'm going to ask us that we'll take some time this morning and bring our dirt before Jesus. Maybe for some of you it would be the very first time. Maybe for some of us, it would be, we've done it before. But man, there is some dirt in our lives, and we know it very well, that we have not brought before Jesus. And today we need to acknowledge our sinfulness before Him. I'm going to ask that we will apply what we're seeing here, and today we will bow down before Him. And as this band is singing, feel free to come up here to the very front of the stage. Feel free to fill up the aisles. Feel free to, turn in your seat and get on your knees if you can. If physically you can't, stay in your seat and bow down your head. But if you can, get on your knees before Jesus today and bring your dirt before Him. Here's what I'm asking. Don't leave this room today without bringing your dirt before Jesus and bowing down before Him. Don't leave this room without doing it, whether it's your first time or the 100th time you do it. And I understand that it may be uncomfortable to get on our knees in front of other people. I can promise you it's not more uncomfortable than what the leper did in our passage. Then in the end of the day, who cares what other people think? Don't leave this room without getting on your knees before your God. Confess your sinfulness. Bring your dirt before Him. Ask Him to cleanse you, to heal you, to help you live transformed and in obedience to Him. So I'm going to pray, then we're going to get into this time of worship, and take your time. Get on your knees before God, and let's bring our dirt before Him. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your grace on us. We recognize that we are sinners. We recognize that our sin leads to death. We're unclean. And You know our hearts. You know if there is anyone sitting in this room this morning that never put their faith in You, never was cleansed, I pray that You will just move in their hearts right now. We're praying that we'll see cleansing happening in this room today. And I'm praying for every one of us here. You know what's going on in our lives. You know the dirt that is in our heart. And I'm praying that You will cleanse us here today. Because Jesus, You can do everything. Give us the courage to bow down before You and surrender our lives to You and live a life that gives You glory.